The following recording is offered by the Village Zendo. For more information, please visit villagezendo.org.
Good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to feel welcomed into your homes and into the places where you live and where you sit. In your living rooms, in the places you've set up for practice. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me this morning. So what I would like to talk about today, what is up for me is sort of the recognition of the intimacy that has actually come up because of, or in spite of, or in the middle of these 18 months of pandemic. It's beautiful, surprising. I was on sabbatical a few semesters back in Santa Barbara, so I had a chance to sit with the Santa Barbara Zen group out there. And they also have an evening sit where they also created a space, a circle for checking in and for really honest, direct, intimate conversations in a way that they hadn't experienced before to that degree. And I was reminded when they mentioned that with Oxbow Zen here in Northampton, Massachusetts, where I live, we also, we sit together on Sunday morning and then afterwards we have brunch together on Zoom and have an opportunity for people to check in and just go around. And it's been, in my experience, again, a powerful, intimate space for really showing up with whatever is up for us in that moment. And I've been wondering and marveling, what is it that somehow allows for that to happen? In the midst of technologies and situations that could at the same time feel very distancing and isolating. And yet something is happening, something is blooming, very peculiar. So there's a koan that I think in some way may help us look at that, or has helped me look at that. It's case 27 of the Blue Cliff Record, Yunmen's The Body Exposed, The Golden Wind. Well, one thing that I really like about this koan is it's really very short. So, as I practice with it, it doesn't mean that I sort of have to spend weeks trying to memorize it and going back and sort of feeling prepared or not prepared. It's just like, here it is, short and sweet. So a monk asked Yunmen, how is it when the tree withers and the leaves fall? Yunmen said, body exposed in the golden wind. So how is it when the tree withers and the leaves fall for you? What is the monk really asking here? It's not a casual question, I think, that the monk is asking. Maybe it's a question that she's been sitting with for a long time. It looks like finally she feels ready, prepared, daring to ask it. How is it when the tree withers and the leaves fall? And I also wonder, in that showing up with the question, what are sort of the hopes and expectations behind that? Maybe asking the teacher means, oh, teacher, tell me how it is for you, in the hope that I can sort of do that for myself as well, and then I'll be fine. Right? Tell me your solution. Or maybe there's no such expectation. There's really just, I'm totally stuck in the middle of this question and I don't know how to resolve it. How is it when the tree withers and the leaves fall? I think this was really the monk's deep question. How about for you? What is the practice that got you to the cushion? Maybe it's not even an articulated question. Maybe it's just a vague sense of unease. How is it for you? And then Yunmen responds, body exposed in the golden wind. So what is this body that is exposed? What is it that is exposed? How is it that it's exposed? And also, why is that wind golden? What's golden about that? So when the tree withers and the leaves fall, what comes up in my mind are images of fall, are images of the end of life, are images of old age, sickness, and death. Feels like winter is approaching. It doesn't feel like a golden wind to me. It feels like chilling wind blasts, as it mentions in the verse that goes with the koan. And the body that is exposed, is that the teacher's body that is exposed? Or is that the student's body that is exposed in daring to ask the question? Perhaps this body exposed is actually an acknowledgement by the teacher that the student has taken an important step to be clear deep in themselves about their concern, about the question that's in their heart, and to take that seriously, and to value that and not dismiss that. And to take the next step, to actually open up. And that opening up can take many kinds of forms, right? I mean, here it's in a dialogue, maybe in a daisan or a dokusan with a teacher, or maybe they were working together. But this setting, this form for opening it up can take many different kinds of forms. And maybe the teacher acknowledges that the student is sharing that, is reaching out, is making a connection. And give voice to the deep question that's really in their hearts. To take seriously what feels troubling and out of sync. The body exposed. The verse that goes with the koan goes as follows. Since the question has the source, the answer too is in the same place. Three phrases should be distinguished. An arrow point flies far into the void. Over the great plains, chilling wind blasts, howling, wailing in the eternal sky, intermittent Misty rains. Have you seen the traveler sitting so long at Shaolin, who has not returned? Tranquil up on Bear Ears Mountain, a single gathering. So here are the chilling wind blasts howling and wailing, right? That's how I often feel in my mind. It's like, I don't want it like this. It should be different. It's not right. And that the step to expose the body, to expose the mind, really feels like an existential threat sometimes. I remember when I started sitting at the Village Zendo, I noticed that I had preferences about what teachers to see and not to see. And I realized that I was afraid of seeing certain kinds of teachers because something in my mind had convinced me that they would be able to see right through me and that they would not be so kind to, and that they would simply say that, right? It's like, huh. So I noticed that it's like, huh, why is it that I don't talk to them? And I noticed that I was afraid. I was afraid of being discovered as a Zen fraud. You know? Body exposed. So, you know, feeling like a fraud. And then in the interview, sort of, you know, pasting it over with what I think, you know, a true student should look like. And I'm sure the teacher saw right through that as well, right? And yet, it's not like it shouldn't have been that way, right? That was important for me to experience and see, huh? What is going on here? What's really underneath that? And I think also building trust, trust in the practice to show what I need to see and to show what I need to see in myself. And the trust to work intimately with the teacher, to say this is what is going on, to dare to expose the body and to expose the mind, even if it feels like an existential threat sometimes. Body exposed in the golden wind. So how about that golden wind? What is it that blows through you when you're willing to open up? What is it that this wind takes away? That's perhaps extra. That's perhaps exactly the thing that's in the way. And still, it may feel chilling. It may feel like letting go of something that I think is an integral part of who I think I am. And maybe I'm not quite ready to let that go yet. And yet, the wind blows and the wind pulls. And sometimes the wind is golden and takes some of those things along. So coming back to sort of these intimate community circles, on Zoom, no less. Is it the form? Is it that Zoom really has a particular special way of making people really feel intimate and open up? I think as many of you may know, I teach mathematics and mathematics education at a university. So I've been teaching on Zoom for for the last 18 months, more or less. So, and I can tell you that it's not the technology that does it, right? There can also be students who have the camera off and who are maybe at work and who are not engaged and who are not even present for that. So it's not the media. But I think it is the willingness to connect in the middle of the questions, in the middle of how is it for us when in our life we feel that the tree withers and the leaves fall. And to be willing to see that for ourselves and to be willing to show up and share that. I think for there's something about socialization that I think makes that a little bit more difficult, I think, for some men. Because I think the sense of vulnerability really feels sometimes like an existential threat. And I don't know exactly what it is about that. But in my professional life, I work a lot in communities where actually women are the major voice. And it's very different. It's like vulnerability is the bedrock that the community is founded on. And it does not feel like an existential threat. It feels like an existential opportunity. So I think as we sort of open up and sort of shift back into being partly online, being partly in person, in whatever shape or form that takes in your life, I would encourage you to continue to show up, to continue to value the deep questions that you notice in your heart, and to be daring to share them and to connect with other practitioners, with teachers, with other people in your life. I think the body exposed in the golden wind is really a powerful reminder for us. So let me close by reading the poem once again. Since the question has the source, the answer too is in the same place. Three phrases should be distinguished. An arrow point flies far into the void. Over the great plains, chilling wind blasts, howling, wailing. In the eternal sky, intermittent misty rains. I love those intermittent misty rains. It's like they get you wet, even though you don't know that it's happening. And that traveler sitting up alone on the mountain, there's something about sitting alone, but there's also something about a single gathering that actually includes everybody in the circle. Thank you very much for your practice.